Chapter 14. We've been looking at a series, how to receive edification. Is that what I said last week? Or ministry education? Is that as a ministry? Well, we are sort of looking at both together. How to receive edification. Amen. How to receive edification. Somebody says, why is that important? Because it's important because practical Christian living is not possible if we don't understand the intent of God in establishing a particular pattern in the scriptures. Practical Christian living is not possible or won't be possible if we don't understand what is the intent of God in establishing a particular principle in the scriptures. Amen? So if we just know it as a principle, we don't know the concept, we don't know the application. Application produces understanding. Understanding is what enables our walk as believers. Without understanding, we can't walk in what belongs to us. What is God's plan and purpose? That we walk in what belongs to us. That's why there is a gradual growth. The more we grow, it's based on how much we understand. The more we understand, the better our walk is. The better our walk is, the more we enjoy and experience of what God has provided for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to read. So let's just read together. This is Bible study. Let me also say at the beginning that at the end of the teaching, you are free to ask questions in any area, not just what we're looking at. Maybe there's something, there's an area of scriptures that is a little bit puzzling or confusing. And then because it's Bible study, we give room for people to ask questions. Now in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14, some people avoid this chapter of scripture because it can be confusing. We don't know what it stands for, but it's a beautiful passage. Designed for your benefit if you know what is there. Verse 1, follow after love or charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, notice the opening text or opening chapter verse. Notice it says, rather that you may what? Prophesy. It means that something about prophecy, a believer's growth, a believer enjoying what God has prepared, that is so important that it says all believers should desire it. In fact, it says when you are desiring spiritual gifts, what should you desire? That you prophesy. And we've already defined in this series what prophecy is. What's prophecy? Inspired utterance in a known language. And the Bible says every believer can do it. Someone says, how do I get to do it? Knowledge. Whatever you have knowledge of, you have faith for. Whatever you have knowledge of, you have faith for. So when it says you desire, understand God will never ask you to desire for what is not attainable or reachable. In fact, God is saying you should desire because it's through desire that such things come. Which means if you don't desire it, that particular thing will not come into operation. But if you desire it, listen, desire spiritual gifts. What does that mean? If I don't desire spiritual gifts, they are not going to jump on me. Why? The Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman. He won't put some things on me that I have no desire for. So he says, follow after love, or let love be your motivation, and then you can desire. In fact, let me put it another way. You are safe. You are okay. You are free to desire whatever spiritual gifts you may look out for, as long as you are following love. Or love is your motivation. So the reason why I'm desiring the gift of special faith is because I realize that if I can bless people with that gift, their lives will change. I'm following love. The reason I'm desiring the word of knowledge is that I may receive information or revelation that I may use to help or assist people in different situations, then I'm following love. So he's talking about the motive behind your desire. It says, follow after love, then desire spiritual gifts. It's a borada. So out of all the spiritual endowments, the first and the most important one that Paul, by the Spirit of God, is writing to the church to covet or to value above all, is that you may speak with inspired utterance. That's extremely important. It means until we understand why the Spirit of God is placing so much emphasis, we're not going to be able to fully walk in what God has prepared. Why? Inspired utterance is extremely crucial to our Christian experience. Extremely crucial. That's how the church was born. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 10, where we find the principle of how to get saved, we notice in that Romans chapter 10, look at Romans chapter 10, we'll come back to this place. I said we're going to read, I've only started with verse 1. We have not read the rest. Amen. Romans, are you in Romans? Look at chapter 10. Verse 8. Chapter 10, verse 8. But what said he? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, then shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did you see that? Notice the principle, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now go back to that 1 Corinthians, but look at chapter 12 now. 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 12. Are you there? From verse 1 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 1. We're going to go back to chapter 14 soon, but look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. If you're using a good King James Bible, you notice the word gift is italicized. So the original reading actually says, now concerning spirituals, or things of and pertaining to the Holy Ghost, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. For you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Verse 3 is where we're going. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Is that in your Bible? Did you see that? The Bible says no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So the day you confess that Jesus is Lord, it was by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost inspired you. So let's put it another way. That day you prophesied. You spoke by inspired utterance. What happened next? You became a member of the body of Christ. That's how important prophecy is. It means it was through prophetic word that you entered into the body. So prophecy is not just inspired utterance, it is a statement of a reality that is not visible to the eye or the senses. So when Paul says, I want you to follow after love and to desire spirituals or things of the Holy Ghost, he said, but rather that you may prophesy. That means prioritize inspired utterance above every other thing you're going to desire. And there's a secret behind that. And part of the secret is because from inspired utterance, there's really no operation of the Holy Ghost you can step into. None. Every other operation of the Holy Ghost you can step into by prophecy or by inspired utterance. That's what Paul is trying to say. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 14 again. So just go to chapters to 14 now. Let's go back. Verse 2 now. For he that speaketh in our own tongue, speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in our own tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Notice verse 3 and 4. The one who prophesies is speaking to men, or is speaking in a language that men can understand. Whenever he is speaking under inspiration, in a language that men can understand, he is actually speaking three major things into the lives of men. He is speaking edification, he is speaking exhortation, he is speaking comfort. Now, we have defined what those three are in the past series. But for those who are just coming to this teaching, I will just quickly define, what does it mean to edify? Since we're looking at the series Receiving Edification, which is what we are really focusing on, I will just give a short definition for each. He is speaking edification, exhortation, and comfort. To edify means to build up like an edifice. It means there are things you have that are not necessarily perceivable to your senses. When prophecy is in operation, you are made aware of what is already yours, and the reality of it dawns upon your consciousness. You are edified, or you are built up. So where you were weak, you just notice that you are sort of built up, or seemingly you are more established. What does it mean to exhort? There are things you already know that you are losing grasp of. So if I say, Sister Message, come up and exhort us. Exhortation means that you are using the word of God to speak to me the things I'm already aware of, but I have seemingly lost sight of. What does it mean to comfort? That is a big one. If you followed English language alone, and you're reading King James, you will think comfort means to produce a good feeling. It's far from it. At the end, there will be a good feeling. So what does comfort mean in English? You know, it means to give assurance, isn't it? But you know that word comfort there, that it translates as English comfort, because the English language is very weak when it comes to actually translating the original Greek rendering. It means to deliver in trouble. It means to give the answer that somebody requires in a difficult situation. You know, Paul says that we may comfort those who are in any tribulation with the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted by God. And when Paul was writing of that comfort, he was talking about something that they went through. I'm quoting 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Since this is Bible study, 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. If you read the whole Bible, you will notice that yes, even though they were believers, they faced many challenges. And if you're a Christian and you don't have any challenges, there's a possibility that you and the devil are moving in the same direction. Because if you are going in the opposite direction, you will meet him on your way. But if you never encounter him on your way, maybe you are going in the same direction. You need to change direction. Means you are too comfortable. The Bible says, woe to him that is at ease in Zion. Which is, you are not alert. Because if you really, really are doing anything good for God, that you are following God's plan, you will collide with him along the way. He will try to hinder you. So if you don't have any activity, it means you are not important. It means if where you are, you are in neutral mode. Are you there? All right. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So what is comfort? A supernatural energizing in a difficult situation. Notice verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. What is tribulation? Trouble. Simple in English. Trouble. Did you see that? It says, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are what? Comforted of God. So when Jesus said, I will send you a comforter, it's not, I will send you somebody to make you feel good. He said, that's the deliverance you require. Because Jesus was their comforter for 3.5 years. He says, I will send you another comforter, somebody exactly like me, who will bring you out of every difficult situation. So it was the comforter at work. When Peter was in prison, the comforter sent an angel to comfort or to rescue him from prison against the wish of Herod and disappointed the devices of the crafty. That was comfort. So it's a supernatural energizing that will bring you out of every situation. Now, Paul now says in that 1 Corinthians 14, go back to 1 Corinthians 14 now. So you realize that the comfort is not just something that is English. It has a deeper meaning. Verse 3 again. But he that prophesies, what's prophecy? Inspired utterance. Whoever yields to inspired utterance will be yielding to three dimensions. What is going to be yielding to? It will yield to edification, it will yield to exhortation, and it will yield to comfort. Verse 4. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, or is doing only himself good. Whoever is speaking in tongues, as long as he stays with tongues alone, he is ministering only to himself. Now, I said something last week. One of the challenges we have is this. If we don't know that tongues is a means to an end, we will stay with the means and we won't do anything about the end. Why have a lot of believers been discouraged from praying or speaking in tongues? I also said something last week that there is a difference between praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. Otherwise, the Bible will make a distinction. You may think they are the same, they are not the same. There is no time you will pray that you no need to speak. But it's not every time you are speaking that you are praying. Hallelujah. How many of you agree? Yeah. There is no time you pray you won't need to speak. But it's not every time you are speaking that you are praying. So the Bible in this chapter talks about praying. It also talks about speaking. In fact, it also talks about singing. So let's put it this way. The same activities I can do with speech in the natural, I can do with tongues in the supernatural. As English is the natural language of my mind, tongues is the language given by the Spirit of God to my spirit. When my spirit wants to communicate, my spirit has capacity to speak in English, but to also speak in something higher than English. Wherever you hear the word language, you are referring to a civilization. There is no civilization without language. So wherever you see language introduced, it's a pointer to the fact that there is what you call a civilization in existence that may not be obvious to the senses. So when the Bible says you are a new creation, you are a different kind of civilization. In your civilization, where you come from, there is a language that is spoken there, it's tongues. That language is higher than any earthly language, particularly because of what it conveys. A language of necessity must be as big as what is meant to convey. So there are things God wants to convey because you are a new creation. Your spirit is in unity with God. Your mind is not always in unity. So your spirit has been given a special assignment from God to train your mind in the things of God. Let's put it this way. Your spirit man, with the help of the Holy Ghost, is meant to spiritualize your mind. Why is that important? Your mind is directly in control of your actions. Your spirit is not. Why do we have believers who can misbehave? Very simple. Because you don't act from your spirit primarily, you act from your mind. What are you meant to do with your mind? Spiritualize it. Or let it receive the same mind as your spirit. How did God plan to achieve that? Through the instrumentality of tongues. If tongues is a means to an end, what should be the focus of every Christian? The end, not the means. So if I know there is an end, you know, the Bible says, surely there is an end and your expectation. If there is an end, I'm meant to have an expectation. If I have the expectation, it will lead me to the end. So the issue is this, if we focus on just the means, we lose sight of the end. So we start with the end in mind. Anytime we start with the means, we know it's meant to bring us to an end. We don't stop or give up until the end is accomplished. So Paul here starts in verse 2 by saying, he who speaks in an unknown tongue. But in verse 1, he has already said, I want you to follow after love. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather, or in order of priority, focus more on prophecy. So we understand, whatever he's about to say has to do with the fact that inspired utterance is important to every Christian, isn't it? We said that's the way you came into the body of Christ. Now he's now starting and saying, he who speaks in an unknown tongue. So obviously, from what Paul is trying to say, I will enter into this prophecy I'm meant to desire above every other thing by first starting with tongues. Hallelujah. Are we together? So I start with tongues, I don't end with tongues. I start with tongues, I enter into prophecy. I enter into prophecy, I will be able to receive edification, exhortation, and comfort. As long as I stay with tongues only, I am edifying or building up myself. I'm not doing it for any other person. Now, let me read on. Where are we now? Verse 5. Look at verse 5. I will that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Who has a good King James Bible here? I mean a good one. That's the original King James. With all the italics. I mean, who has that? With all the italics. It's italicized. The one you have is italicized. The one on my iPad is not italicized. That's why I like, sometimes I bring in the normal one to all these digitalized issues. Okay, let's read that verse 5 again. Because if you see the part that's italicized, you'll be able to pick out the meaning. But let's revise it. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. Do you know the original Greek? Let me read it the way you actually see the original Greek. It says, I would that you all, or I would desire that all of you speak with tongues in order that you may prophesy. That's what the original Greek says. I would that you all speak with tongues in order. What does that tell you? Tongues will be the means by which I will enter into what? Prophecy. Do you understand? So let's read on. Provider, you prophesy. For greater, or this is the reason, greater of more benefit is he that one prophesies than he that one speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Hallelujah. So, if we're having a believers meeting, which we are going to start soon, and you give a message in tongues, the Bible actually says, you that gave that message, if you want to build up the whole church, when you speak forth with tongues, expect interpretation by faith, it will come. When you move from tongues to interpretation, what you are now doing is that you are prophesying. What will happen to the whole church? The whole church will receive edification. Now, the apostle will say, Pastor, I sense an utterance in tongues. Should I give it? And that's okay. That's just the beginning stage. What should you do? He says, greater or of more benefit is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, so that the church can receive edifying. So it's not saying tongues are not important. It says of more benefit. If we compare the one who just speaks only in tongues and the one who prophesies, the one who prophesies, the difference is that tongues is not a language that men understand, but prophecy is a language that men understand. So the one that will edify the church more is the one who is prophesying. So the person who spoke in tongues can move over from tongues into what? Prophecy by faith. In fact, Bible expects that you should. I would that you all speak with tongues in order that you might prophesy. So every believer, as we start out with tongues, it is tongues and something else. That's how edification comes. Hallelujah. It's like this. There are things God wants to say to you through your own mouth and through the mouth of others. It is a language. But what God wants to convey is so big that natural language can't easily convey. So let me put it this way. Have you wanted to say something to somebody else that you saw the picture on your inside? You know what you are seeing, but you don't know how to say it. That's why tongues is so important. Do you know what you see on the inside and think is actually bigger than language? Sometimes you are incapacitated in communicating what it is that you can see because you don't seem to have the words to convey. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm going to say one or two things and then as we go on, we'll build up. Why is speaking so important? Not just among believers on the earth. Because I'm going to say something that will shock you a little bit. Speaking is not as important on earth, in heaven, as it is on earth. The means of communication on earth is speaking. That is not the means in heaven. This is why. Because the earth was fabricated by words. So automatically words prevail on the earth. And words are important if you want to see any manifestation of anything that is spiritual. But in heaven is different. Notice the way, one of the ways that God introduces God in the Bible. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a hope and a future, or to bring you to an expected end. God is what? Thinking. Now, the thoughts of God are communicated by His Spirit to your spirit. When God communicates His thoughts from your spirit to your spirit, what your spirit picks up from the Spirit of God, it wants to communicate it to you, but not immediately in English, because it's bigger at first than what which part of you understands English, your mind. But God is not in your mind. God is in your spirit. So God communicates to your spirit. Then your spirit wants to say it out. Why? Once your spirit succeeds in saying it out, your mind can be brought to a place of understanding. So what does your spirit do? Your spirit takes control over your natural tongue. And then it starts coming out in tongues. As you take time to listen by faith, then interpretation starts coming. So you can actually hear things that you have never thought about. That you have never naturally thought about. Why? Because now the thoughts of God are coming through the Spirit of God, through your spirit, to your understanding. So there's a process. Let me say that again. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Is God thinking about you? Yes. How does God process things about you? Through thoughts. What does it do with the thoughts? It releases the thoughts in your direction. If you want to find out what God wants to do in your life in 2020, you can. If you really are ready. Someone says, what does it mean to be ready? God is not about to make those plans. He has. Somebody says, Pastor, how are you so sure? God doesn't dwell in time. He dwells in eternity. And the works have already been finished from the beginning. You are the one who finds out what will happen in 2017. You are finding out. You can only find out what is already in existence. Do you understand? So you are finding out. You know, it's interesting. There are natural things around us, scientific discoveries that we can use to illustrate spiritual truths. There is nothing you want to search online. Once you click Google, if I will use this phrase, Google it. What will come up? What you are searching for. What you are searching for is not the only thing that Google can bring out. But that is the only thing it will bring out as long as that's what you type in. Does Google have information? Plenty information. What will it give you what to search out? Do you understand? How do you search out? You type it in. Then Google will search it out. Your spirit man Googles God. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Your spirit can search out avenues of God's wisdom that will aid and help you in life. So the minute you yield your tongue to pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit man is going on a search already. If you know your spirit man can search, you can now, instead of doing it unconsciously, do it consciously. Somebody says, what does that mean? Be an intelligent Christian. You can sit down when you have time. In fact, you may be busy with your hands on something in the office, but you know nobody will disturb you for about 30 minutes or an hour. What do you do? I really need to know what to do about this and so situation. And the Bible says that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. I am going to speak out the wisdom of God in a mystery, then I will wait for interpretation. That's an intelligent Christian. Someone says, but Pastor, I have never received interpretation. You are very correct. Because of the way you said it, you have never received interpretation. I'm glad you didn't say God has never given me interpretation. You didn't receive. That's where the issue is. You have spoken mysteries many times. And after you spoke it, you left all the mysteries there and failed to receive because you started out not even expecting to receive. Think about it. It is your expectation won't be cut off as long as you are sure of an end. But here it is, you are not even expecting. How then will you receive when it comes? Guess what? God is so merciful. Many of us have even received, but we have not recognized. I wonder why I'm thinking that I should go to. No, that's the interpretation of what you asked God for the other day. That's now been downloaded. The thoughts are now coming. And you were not thinking that way. But how come you are thinking? You have prayed it out. Now the thoughts are now coming on what you need to do. You plan how to go for the interview. Something strange happened after you pray. You know, you woke up the next morning. You didn't feel like going. That what you should go rather is that you should go and see Brother James who called you yesterday. And God is saying that what you called me about that interview, what they offer you will be ridiculous. But Brother James has something better that I already planned for you. That's what's happening. But if you are carnal, you say, I must go for that interview. I must. You are even disobeying your spirit. You are dragging your feet. You notice that the church wanted to iron. The dragon has not brought it. You say, I will wear that one. Now the spirit of God is trying to get you are struggling against. I mean, you have received the answer, but you are not consciously paying attention to the answer. Too many times, you will notice if you spend some time praying this way that if you are not the kind of person who is used to, when I sit down now, I'm going to keep my mind quiet and receive the invitation. Many times, many of us, that evening of that day, some people the next morning, some people 2 days, depending on how more renewed your mind is, will start receiving thoughts that we were not thinking about before. What are you meant to do? Pay attention to what is coming. What's happening? You are receiving exactly the things that you prayed out by the Spirit of God. The thoughts are now coming. I know the thoughts. And thoughts are bigger than words. Hallelujah. In fact, words are the servant of thoughts. There are things you will see and know. A man can receive a revelation. I'm not exaggerating. And what he saw was in 3 seconds. And he has spent 2 years trying to explain it. Because that realm is different from this realm. That realm is a condensed realm. If you are going to say everything that it means, 3 years you are still explaining what you saw. In 1970, you are still explaining. See now. Why? Because what you capture in the realm of the spirit is far bigger than what ordinary language can convey in the realm of natural. So you will need the help of the Holy Ghost and words to keep defining, explaining the things that you picked up. So here's what happens. You are really complete in Him. Hallelujah. I'm complete in Him. I am complete in Him who is the head. God made you complete. Hallelujah. That's why if you yield to the principles I'm trying to teach you, you know, we have this concept of, and I know it's popularly taught, I'm not dissing it. No, I mean to diss something. I'm not putting it down. But there are some things that you will pick up and hear in the place of praying in tongues and speaking out in tongues that will amaze your mind. What do I mean? You know, we have a tendency of, if there's a situation, have you ever heard this name before? If something is trying to threaten you, if something looks big, that don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell the mountain how big your God is. Do you know God actually sings a different song about you? Let me put it this way. Before you compare any mountain to God, first compare that mountain to your spirit. Your spirit is a mighty man. Your spirit has supernatural might, supernatural ability, infinite capabilities. I mean, on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind. There were tongues of fire sat upon each of them. The Holy Ghost came and they were still sitting. The Holy Ghost came and they didn't fall down. The Holy Ghost came. Where did he enter? Their spirit. The capacity of the reborn spirit is tremendous. 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 Before you compare any mountain to your God, first compare it to your new created spirit. Satan can't stand beside you where you stand. You are complete in him. Hallelujah. You are a terror to the enemy. Notice the Bible didn't say you resist the devil and he will flee from God. He will flee from you. It means who you are in Christ is bigger than your mind can even comprehend now. In God, you are big. In God, you are mighty. He didn't say we flee from God. He will flee from you. You resist the devil. Who is the you? The new creation. As a new creation, conscious of righteousness, resist the devil. He will flee from you. He can't stand before you. Satan has never walked up to the spirit of a reborn Christian. Has never. He has come to the mind, but he has never walked up to the spirit of a reborn Christian. Because your spirit is mighty in God. Hallelujah. Spirit Woodsworth was praying one day, and while he was praying, and this was a man, I mean, who passed on maybe about 70 years ago, while he was praying, suddenly, as he was praying in the spirit, he just saw one very huge being, luminous, full of light. And he started trembling. He said, Lord, what's that? What's that? Who is that? God said, why are you shaking? That's your spirit. And he saw this being full of light. He said, that's your spirit. That's your reborn spirit. You know what God was saying to you? That if you see the way your spirit, you will shake. your physical body will say that, oh my God, who is this being that's full of glory? You are full of God's glory. You are wall to wall, Holy Ghost. In your spirit, man. Hallelujah. There's no shaking concerning you. So what does God want to do? Through the Holy Ghost, through the tool of tongues, he wants to pass across that same mastery to your mind. So that you will learn not to take no where God has said yes. Your spirit has never said no to God, but your mind does. And God wants your mind to always say yes, and it is schooling. It requires a schooling. And that's why tongues is necessary. If tongues will move into inspired utterance, through inspired utterance, I'm able to bring forth edification that will bring me to a place where, as God wants me to be, and what he wants me to experience is what I will be experiencing, then I need to step over into it more. Hallelujah. I want to bring you away from the tedious, everyday, monotonous practice of just saying a few syllables in tongues to deliberately going after utterance. Where you know that my deliverance is in the things I say. That the answer of God is going to come out as I practice this. That the grace and the glory that God has prepared for me, for the Lord God is the sun and the shield, he will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold. And he's going to say most of those things through your mouth. Hallelujah. That's what prophecy is. Prophecy is not, Sister Pat, thus said the Lord. That's just one small part. The greatest prophecy is the one that comes from your lips to yourself. Your spirit man is talking to your mind. You are big. You are strong. You are mighty. You will never fail. Even if on the outside you fall 7 times, you will rise again and you will win finally. You are victorious in him, eternally settled. Nothing can shake you. That's prophecy. That's what's built you up. You pick up the pieces of your life, it becomes whole again. You pursue what you once left, knowing that God has given it to you. You see how big you are on the inside. We go to say that I may look small, and say that I'm a million times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. A million times. How did that come? Revelation. He just knew. So some of these people, they prayed out some things, then they saw, then they heard, then they began to walk in the early thing. John G. Lake will stand before the mirror. And if you don't know what they've heard, you will think they are proud. Do you know if you see your spirit, you can never be proud again? You will discover they have underestimated what God has done to Christ. That no wonder Jesus went to the grave. No wonder he rose. It was to create this being that can see in the mirror. He will look in the mirror and say, because I can see who I am, in God, in the middle of God's word, God is inside this man. And this man will go out and creative miracles. He will look and say, God, he's looking at the mirror, he's looking at himself, God is inside this man. You know, when you're looking at the mirror, you know, you see yourself reflected back. And then, God is inside this man. And John T. Legge had one of the greatest revelations of God inside man of his generation. I mean, this man was recorded. 100,000 cases, documented healings in a 5-year period, documented. There were some that they didn't document. 100,000 reported cases. And the city of Spokane in Washington became the eldest city in the world at that time. They brought to him an impossible case. A young boy whose head was shaped like a yacht. You know what a yacht is? Okay, let me read it. The all of a yacht. You know what the all is? H-U-L-L. That's the all. That's if you turn a yacht upside down underneath. So his boy's head was shaped like this. Upside down. And the doctor said the older he gets, the more pressure will be on his brain because there's no space. And before witnesses and doubters, this man laid hands on this young man with two hands. And the boy, the skull of the boy's head began to melt and reshaped before the eyes of people. See power. If we remove this veil of flesh, the power that created the universe is at work inside of you. No wonder Paul spoke to the church and said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know. It has already taken place. You need to know. The eyes of understanding, you need to know. You will stop being afraid of witches, you need to know. They will start running from you, you need to know. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glorious inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you. Hallelujah. No wonder Satan's major attack against a believer is to keep you in darkness. Don't know. Enforce ignorance. Enforce defeat. Enforce revelation. Enforce victory. What's your spirit meant to do? Reveal to your mind who you really are in Christ. You're unbeatable. You are his righteousness. Created in Christ Jesus. Created in the Master. Created in the victorious one. It is impossible for you to fail. Never accept failure in your mind, because your spirit man never fails. Hallelujah. That's what's meant to do. So words are going to come out. You are going to hear and be startled and be astonished. He said the exceeding greatness of God's power in your direction. You know, some people are waiting. Some people are actually waiting. They are thinking that, you know, the Bible says, they're thinking that maybe on the day of rapture, in quotes, that your new body will come from heaven. It will amaze you where it's going to come from. I won't mention that one now. Lest some of you are wondering. But Bible talks about the glory that shall be revealed in us. In us. Jesus has finished the works. He has completed it. Your spirit man wants to let you know the work is finished. Stand in victory. Continue in liberty. All things are now ready. And all things are yours. Hallelujah. You lack nothing. He is a son and a shield. He will give grace and glory and no good thing. It means your spirit has capacity to attract every good thing in your direction once the veil of ignorance is removed. Hallelujah. So why does Satan attack speaking in tongues so much? It is a singular way that God has given to the body of Christ to develop and to grow, and Satan doesn't want growth or development. Psalm 85, the Bible talks about it. Psalm 82 verse 5, they know not, neither will they understand, so they walk on in darkness. I have said, you are gods, and none of you are children of the Most High. But they shall die like mere men, and fall like one of the princes. Why? They know not, neither will they understand. So they walk on in darkness. What affects our walk? What we know. What we know. So some are walking in some very strange things. Some are walking in ordinary things. Yet, the Bible says, you are a peculiar people. Everyone, we are all peculiar people. So some have had a translation, or there has been a bridge between their recreated spirits and their mind. Revelation has comforted, has emboldened and enabled the mind and the soul, and it has affected their work for life. So here somebody says, I can never be sick. See what he sees before you say that. Hallelujah. I can never be sick. There's something. But you know that what he said belongs to every single believer. I can never be sick. What's he doing? Prophecy. That's prophecy. How did he come? Back from his spirit man to his outer man. So his mind also registered. He said, we can never be sick. So attack sickness in every form of dimension. Send the code to the body. Every cell of the body. Remember, we don't fall sick. The body is under control. Hallelujah. How did he get there? Prophecy. How did he begin? Tongues. What did tongues do? Convey some supernatural thoughts to the person. Interpretation came. The mind became aware. Then the mind began to walk. Whenever the Bible talks about walk, he's talking about your mind. Your mind receives understanding, then you begin to walk in a particular dimension. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there are things we can't force on you. It has to be revealed. It has to be revealed. How do you get it to be revealed? Pray in the spirit or speak in tongues. Make a conscious practice. Don't get tired. Don't get discouraged. Don't stop at the initial point. Understand is a means to an end. I want you all to speak with tongues in order that you may prophesy. What is God calling on that you will be able to speak with inspired utterance? What is the greatest dimension of inspired utterance? The one that comes out of your mouth to yourself. Your spirit man is now speaking in language your mind can understand. It's coming out of your mouth. Your mind is registering it and change is occurring. Change is occurring. Change is occurring. Hallelujah. You wake up in the morning, the path of the just like a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. I know I will never fail again. There is enough light, therefore, to scatter every darkness. In me is light. Outside there is darkness. The blessing in me swallows up every curse. I am so blessed, I can never be cursed. What are you doing, prophecy? What's happening is affecting your mind. You are now conscious. So next time somebody places a curse upon you, you won't say return to sender. You know it sounds scriptural. Back to sender. They even do like this. Let me ask you a question. What does this mean? I just want to ask you. What does this mean? Now, the reason why you are doing it, you saw somebody do it. If you didn't see anybody, notice that there are some things you do. If you didn't see anybody, you won't do it. So you assume that when I do like this, something has gone back. Nothing went back. Doesn't mean anything went back. It's just human thinking that if I do like this, let me just satisfy my mind. It doesn't mean anything went back. In fact, when you said back to, you have already accepted it came. Because you are saying back to. So where is it? It's with you. When the person say, it won't go well with you. You are saying back to. So by saying back to, you have already said that it has come home. Let me dispatch it. No. Somebody curses you, you just laugh. There is no sorcery against Israel. There is no divination against Jacob. From this time forward, it shall be said, what mighty things God has wrought. Do you want to live long? Don't say that again. That's all. For whosoever curses me is cursed. And whoever blesses me, what? Is blessed. I am highly favored. In Christ, I am far from every curse. Revelation. Understanding. So you are no longer subject to all this beggarly, you know, there's a curse going in your life. You say, there's a generation. So I'm only aware of generational blessing, not generational curse. From the generation of Abraham, blessing have been following me. I'm a seed of Abraham. And if he be Abraham's seed, then are ye Christ's. Hallelujah. How do you step in all those things? You speak in unknown tongues. You enter into supernatural utterance. Do you know, I was telling Elder, I went to Ibadan yesterday to minister at my pastor, by the Ugolano's Holy Ghost meeting. So I went to my minister yesterday night. So he was asking me some questions. So I was telling that the things I did in the meeting, I prayed it out. I spoke it out. So I went there to actor. He said, what do I say? Yeah, that's what. I prayed out in tongues. Thank God for the kind of wife I have. She knows me. She knows that this man is doing some, he's processing some things. Why? The things God wants to do in the meeting, God knows. You are the one that needs to know. Question, will God hide it from you? No. You know, some people are even afraid to ask God because in their mind, God doesn't want them to know. In fact, that's already a blockage. Your faith can't even work to deceive because you are thinking God is hiding things. But my Bible says those things were hidden for you, not from you. Eating for you means they were eating for only people like you to get. It is the glory of God, Proverbs 25:2, to hide it, to conceal a thing. It is the honor of kings to search out a matter. And you are a king in Christ. To search out a matter, it is honor unto you. You are given grace to search it out. Eyes have not seen nor ear heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. Now, what eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, hasn't entered, God has revealed those things to us by His Spirit. What does that mean? You are not one of those that eyes have not seen. That is not talking about you. You are a different breed. He uses but God has revealed it to us. So us, and the people He was talking about in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 2, are not the same. As He's using, eyes have not seen nor ear heard. That is those people. But for us, God has revealed it to us by His word, Spirit. What's left to you to do? Let your spirit Google it. Hallelujah. Search it out. Why? You are a king. Part of your honor is searching things out. Pray out the mysteries. Don't let it stay as mysteries. Let God's wisdom flow forward. Here, see, here, see, here, see. Your mind will change. You will operate at a different frequency. There's a boldness that you have. It means you are now wearing the inner man on the outer man. You will never run again. Hallelujah. Spend 5 minutes with a young man who was telling us, sir, I've not seen my father for 5 years. A student too. In UI. How have you been living? He said, sometimes I just go, I've been staying with my aunt and my uncle. I said, why? He said, my father is a herbalist, terrible man. When I gave my life to Christ, he was also a Muslim. He's been after me, threatening me, saying all kinds of things. He's a very dangerous man. People, everybody knows the kind of things he can do. So we are running. When I finished with him, I shared with him for 5 minutes. He felt like an elephant running from a mouse. He said, have you ever seen that? Is that not an anomaly? Imagine. A lion sees a mouse and says, where's the tree where I can hide? Something is wrong with the lion. His claws are working. His teeth is sharp, but his mind is gone. I said, because the thing you are running from is about to run from you. Because you are deceived. Something is covering your mind. I said, you are complete in him. You are seated far above. You are more than a conqueror. It means you are not about to conquer. You are conquering. You have conquered. You are seated. Before you, he has to stand. He can't even sit. When I finish, said that, can I go now? I want to go now. I remember a young minister. His father was a professor and heavily into jazz. I mean, he's a man that you will use. He will tell you, bring knife. Cut this hand and see if blood will come out. He will just make some incantations. You will cut it, blood won't come out. The son came and said, let me show you something else. He said, bring the knife. After the man made the incantations, he said, in the name of Jesus, he cut blood. He said, is that not blood? Hallelujah. There's something higher. And there's nothing higher than the Most High, and is your Father. And you are complete in him. Edification is knowing and coming to understand and then being built up on that knowledge. So when you hear there's an enchantment, you say, there is no divination against me. There's no enchantment against me. I am too blessed to be cursed. That's edification. So whatever seems to have failed, the question is not the thing that failed. The real failure is when you turn your back and say it will never work. That's real failure. Hallelujah. Because you are saying no to what God has said yes to. And in Christ, all the promises of God, they are what? Yes. And what? Amen. The natural age for giving birth, according to medical science, anything from 40 upwards, they say there's difficulty. That is as according to the census. In redemption camp, they were giving testimony. The man had white hair. The woman had white hair. The way they were giving testimony, the whole camp jumped up. Mommy Gio was the first person who jumped up and started shouting, praise the Lord, praise. What happened? The woman was blushing because that was the second child. At 51. You think God is a respecter of age? Who told you? At 51. So obviously they had actually had one before, after several years. So, you know, as well as though this one was as well an accident. So she was now blushing. Hey, come and see what God has done. I put off the TV. I started praying. There's a God in heaven who can reverse time for you. He can reverse time. He can break natural laws for you if you look to him. He can. The only difficulty is in your mind. God wants your mind to receive edification from your spirit and get free of that limitation. There is no limitation in God. Every limitation occurs in the minds of men. Edification is we remove the limitation in your mind so that you will see to him that believeth, all things are possible. All things are what? Possible. Tell me, how many people do you see getting married in their 60s? And Pastor Kumi married a 65-year-old virgin. 65 years. Don't tell me all things are not possible. Don't tell me all things are not possible. We are so filled with information of men's standards, we have left God's standards. At 90, a king wanted to snatch Sarah from Abraham. So if all your beauty is cosmetic, I am not trusting the vitality of God. A woman is looking good at 90. Nobody tries to snatch a grandma. Grammar is grammar. Let me just tell you now. Two kings competed for Sarah. I don't know. She was looking good, though. Don't be deceived. The Bible says that the king put her in his harem. You know what harem is? All the fine chicks you have captured, you put them there. At 90. Ah, something is going on, brothers and sisters. Something is going on in the word of God. And the Bible says, you are the seed of Abraham in Christ Jesus. And what God did for one, he will do for what? The other. If you just open your mind. So, when your mind is saying no, when you begin to move in inspired utterance, your spirit will bring your mind to the understanding of God that that limit is meant for mortal men. You are an immortal man in Christ. So accept a new report. And this is the report of God from this time forward. Hallelujah. This will be so. This will be so. This will be so. So any chapter we close, we close mainly because we are staying with the report of men. But there's another report in God. Daniel told them that. Even the magicians in Daniel, they told them, the king said, I have dreamed a dream and I cannot remember. So you remind me the dream, then you tell me interpretation, and that is all of you are dead. The magician said, tell us the dream, we give interpretation. He said, no. I have forgotten the dream. You will tell me the dream, you give interpretation. If you don't, by tomorrow all of you are dead. They came and said, sir, what you are asking for, no mortal man can do it. Then that's when Daniel came up. There's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. He will show to the king the matter. Bible says, in the night, the secret was revealed to Daniel. And yet the Bible says that you are better than Daniel. Because he wasn't completing him, but you are completing him. That is why him was not manifested then, but it's manifested now. Hallelujah. Jesus was able to tell the people, a greater than Solomon is here. The one who gave Solomon wisdom is standing. So everyone in the kingdom is greater than Solomon. Because he didn't have him. Him is Christ. And you have Christ, the anointed one. Not only that, your spirit man, enabled by the Holy Ghost, has been given a supernatural language. So through utterance, some things can be conveyed. Your mind can be enriched, edified, built up to the point where you walk fearlessly. I told you what happened. One day I was praying in the spirit. I was about to get married. And I kept praying. And that was the day my prayer changed. Oh God, provide. Oh God, supply. Oh God, you want to get married? Oh God, supply. Oh God, provide. Oh God. And then, when I was praying in tongues, the thought just started to come. And the Spirit of God said, don't you realize I am more interested in the wedding than you are in the wedding? Why are you trying to convince me about what I am more interested in? He said, you line up for provision. Don't beg me for provision. I just changed prayer. Mamia, Father, I want to thank you for the provision, for what you have prepared concerning this wedding. And he showed me the scripture. He said, the reason why we bring the two of you together is that he may raise a godly seed. I said, okay, so God, you have investment in this thing. Investment. My prayer changed. The fear died. Or whether God won't come true. There was fearful crisis during the time I got married. People say, cancel wedding, postpone. I said, cancel wedding. God said, if you cancel, you will sponsor thyself. If you stay with my program, it will be by faith. If you cancel the wedding, you will sponsor yourself. I didn't cancel. Because you think God didn't know the day when you know there was a crisis. Then when people that came for the wedding, I started telling myself, thank God for a crisis. Because if there was no a crisis, where is the food to feed all these people? Because when people are saying, we're so sorry we couldn't make it, I was like, thank God you didn't come. Thank God you didn't make it. The Lord is praised. Because number of people that came, we so call for a crisis. Then you are now saying there's none. We printed only 100 cards. Somebody says, why? To limit people that will come. Then the next thing is that, I even saw your card with so-and-so. I know you didn't have time to give me, so I'm coming. You can't say, I didn't want to give you any. You have to agree that it's true. So I was like, with for a crisis, if just people came, if there's no fuel crisis, what will happen? What happened? I heard something. And what I heard became the rock upon which my mind stood. My mind was established. And the fear died. A boldness came. I knew everything was going to be all right. That didn't mean there were no challenges, but I was not remotely moved. I mean, not only was there for a crisis, the money that we wanted to use to get some things was trapped in the bank. I mean, Thursday before the wedding, won't you shall fire on the mountain? But God had already spoken. We just talked, we discussed. And it was when we're discussing that somebody goes, ah, I know somebody who is a bank manager. Ah, yeah, we can talk to him. And the person just said, I will give you all the money you need. Just give me a check in advance. That was all. And that was how the money. If we are spending time, we're just crying and weeping. Oh God, why is our home like this? Oh God, don't forsake your children. Oh God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of Moses, Elijah, and Elisha. God of Jeremiah, help me. You just wait for it to finish. And say, nothing will happen for you. If you keep speaking like this, you are sending help far away from you. Help is in your mouth, in line with the finished work of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What am I trying to say? Your spirit man is waiting for you to speak. God can't do it without your cooperation. It is two working together in agreement that produces results. God wants to show you that there is a mighty investment he has placed in your spirit man. And he wants to do supernatural exploits through you. Strange things in righteousness he wants to do through you. How is he going to do it? You have to speak. On earth, speaking is so important. The word was created through speech. So speaking is important on the earth. And so God in heaven is thinking thoughts. By his spirit is communicating those thoughts. You are meant to lay hold on what God is saying. How? You speak out in a supernatural language. And then utterance and interpretation is given unto you. As you speak it out, your mind now begins to enjoy what your spirit is enjoying with the spirit of God. Your spirit and the spirit of God are in perfect fellowship. Your spirit knows what the spirit of God knows concerning you, but your mind does not. And your spirit is meant to teach your mind. How does it teach it? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men. He has left men's caucus, is in God's caucus. So your mind is about to be brought into the fellowship that your spirit has with God's spirit. So your mind will hear things. Those things are already true. But to your mind, they are just becoming reality. And the more reality of that dimension that you experience and you speak out, the more peace you will experience in your life. Grace and peace will be multiplied unto you in all areas of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will hear gunshots in the night. You will not be afraid, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Bible says you will lie down and nothing shall make you afraid. You will lie down and your sleep shall be sweet and nothing shall make you afraid. Hallelujah. That's the word of God. Some things just become more real. You have prayed, you have confessed, you have declared, and the child is still appears to be sick. Carry the child, give God praise, ignore the symptoms, and rejoice. Like a mad person. Rejoice. It will amaze you. Every single symptom that Satan has brought, he will pack and quickly look for where to hide and go away. Now this one has gone ballistic. Why? He can't stand it when God is being praised. How will that come? Revelation. Revelation. You are no mere man. You are not a mere man. You are a supernatural being in Christ Jesus. And you are several times bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Don't forget it. You are not trying to get victory. You are in victory already. Your spirit man will teach your mind how much of that victory is actually waiting on you to act upon. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet and do something. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Bible says, no good thing will he withhold. No good thing will he withhold. And Father, I am in agreement with your word. You have not withheld anything good. Therefore, money comes to me in the name of the Lord Jesus. Healing and health is mine. I walk in supernatural wholeness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in Nazareth. Because I'm highly favored. Supernatural connections manifest in my life. The grace of God causes me to be exceedingly abound in every good work. I refuse to be stagnant. I refuse to stand outside of the commonwealth of God. The commonwealth that I have in Christ Jesus speaks and answers for me. I enjoy heaven's largesse in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a child of favor. I was born in favor. I am complete in him. Every good thing comes my way. I'm God's righteousness. every good thing is added unto me. This is my season. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak of the end at the beginning. I declare that financial blessings are coming my way. I speak to money and it answers me. I command it to come and it comes and it hears my voice. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, I command the mountain of opposition to cease and to depart and to be cast into the sea. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing blocks or hinders me from moving forward any longer. I stand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ after the order of the glory of God, and I speak an event supernaturally manifest all around me. I refuse to give in to depression. I refuse to give in to discouragement. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, joy of the Lord is my strength. I choose to rejoice because I am a joyous being. I choose to rejoice because the joy of the Holy Ghost dwells and abounds on my inside. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I abound unto every good work, and the favor of God answers for me on every side. There is no weakness concerning me. I am strengthened by the Spirit of God in my inner man. I stand tall in Christ. No weakness of any kind is permitted to manifest. I hold on to my confidence, and I know that the end is sure, and my assurance of victory and the victory itself continually manifests. I walk in the victory. I do not cast away my confidence, but I stand strong in the finished one, and I give praise to the Holy One. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Father, we give you praise. We exalt you. Say, there is no fear in me. God's perfect love cast out every fear. God has taken care of me. His provisions abound in my life. So there is no fear because his perfect love dwells in my heart. I am confident that my Father's plans are manifested in my life. I am confident that the angels of God are working things out for my behalf. Every appointment is with favor. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I am remembered by the right people. I am remembered in the right places. I am sent for. I stand before kings and not mean men. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Blessed be God forever. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.